Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Hello, welcome to another Money Show. Let me get the important thing out in front of us. If you're joining us today, we hope you're having a good Memorial Day weekend. You know, don't forget what it is. I mean, I know that mattresses are 40% off, and I know that, you know, IKEA is probably a great deal this weekend. But Memorial Day, if you don't know the difference, Armed Services Day celebrates those currently serving. And Veterans Day, I believe that's in November, that celebrates me. That is for people that have served. And Memorial Day is the one that should be a little more somber. That is celebrating, or not celebrating, that is commemorating people that have passed away and served. So, Anthony, your grandfather, who's passed away, he was a Navy man, World War II man. So, you know, and I know that this is like the kickoff on barbecue season and summer fun and water skiing. But do take a minute to kind of thank people that did die for our freedom. You know, it is getting more and more important. We are on 960 The Patriot. I mean, in the name, the word Patriot, we should probably at least take a couple minutes sometime this weekend and say thank you to those that served and were willing to die for our country. All right. Sorry to start it so somber, but it's important. Moving on. I am J.R. Rochford, and I'm with Anthony Correo, and I am also with the one and only Sam Davis. And we do thank you for taking time out of your weekend to listen to us. As usual, we've got a pretty full plate. You know, we need these shows to be 6 hours long. So, Sam, I'm not sure who we talk to, but this 1 hour thing, this is for the birds. I mean, it goes by so fast. So our goal, as always, is we want you prepared, not scared. We talk about being proactive versus being reactive. We're going to continue on. You know, we usually lead off with a little bit of current events. You know, what happened this week? Obviously, if you're paying attention to any kind of current events, you're hearing that gas prices are still going up. The prices of gas are problematic, but still not problematic enough because people are traveling this Memorial Day in record numbers. So, you know, the one that concerns me, I watch the diesel prices because, you know, Anthony always asks me, so your 10 pillars, yeah, blah, 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 that's great. But how does it affect my finances? Well, part of the answer to that is it really hasn't yet. When I worry about the pillar of inflation is problematic. You know, when they say that we're at a 40-year high, that should be problematic. But people really are not changing their patterns. You know, the when I look at fuel prices, what I'm really watching is diesel. Reason being, if diesel keeps rising and these truckers keep having to pay thousands of dollars to fill up their trucks, you know, this could wind up later this summer. I think it's going to come home to roost. You know, we are hearing about potential food shortages. You know, our government came out, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago and said it's going to be real, said the word famine. So the more I read about wheat in Ukraine, and now I read about, you know, we're getting towards the end of our supply of corn and everything's changing. You know, we could hit a little collision course between the fuel prices, the food shortages, you know, and don't forget, we do have a midterm election coming up. So, but, you know, and all of that, yes, it's important. But you know what the number one important thing is right now? Sam, Anthony, do either of you have a guess what we really need to talk about today?
What do we need to talk about?
Monkeypox. Come on.
Monkeypox.
So, and gas prices going higher, who's going to get the virus? Who's going to get the vaccine to me if the gas price is too high? So I need my monkeypox vaccine.
Well, if you stop transportation, you know, and moving food around, then you can't spread the disease. So we'll just cut off all trucking. We won't move food anywhere. Yeah.
Do you think they're actually going to deliver the disease this summer? I mean, how am I going to get monkeypox if I'm pretty much staying in my house, staying in Sun City?
It's all going to be delivered through Amazon.
Yeah, probably. And drones. They're going to drop off monkeypox in my home. You know, I shouldn't laugh.
Shipping for monkeypox.
right? Free shipping, 24-hour monkeypox delivery. Now, we're making light of something. It's you know, the bottom line of monkeypox, I scratch my head because every single day I'm finding something new to report. You know, what, Sam? Maybe instead of a 6-hour show on Saturdays, can you hook us up with like a 4-hour show every day? Let's get on drive time here. Let's move. Who do we need to move? Gallagher? Who do we get to move?
Who are we bumping?
Who?
Maybe with enough support, we just get your own Sirius XM channel. And so you can be on 24 hours a day.
We'll be on there with Howard Stern.
Extraterrestrial radio. I'm in. Speaking of extraterrestrials, is that still a thing or was that only last week? You know, are we still doing UFO? Or I think they even changed the name from UFO to some other. We've coined a new term for aliens. So, and you know, I mean, really, when we look for intelligent life, we're going to have to kind of look around the galaxy, but here nor there. So let's get serious for a second. You know, as usual, I love to bring up the 10 pillars every week. I'm going to do so until there's no longer a need. You know, let me run through them real quick. I won't get into them, Anthony, settle down. But there's debt and deficit, financial markets, taxes, inflation, healthcare, underfunded and unfunded liabilities, a shrinking middle class, social media, geopolitical missteps, and civil war. So out of all of those 10 things to keep a focus on, you know what's missing? Black swan events. Monkeypox. We weren't talking about monkeypox a week ago. So you and I, in January and February of 2020, we started telling people that we're hearing about this potential virus. You know, there's some potential virus coming, you know, how serious to take it. We didn't know, but we knew it was outside of what people were watching. So we sounded the alarm just mildly. And look what happened in March of 2020. I mean, that was a pretty sharp sell-off. That was a pretty deep V in the financial markets. So that was a black swan event. You know, are we going to have virus part two? Really, this thing, you've got an avian flu. We're not talking about that. I mean, we're culling all these chickens and egg prices are going up and all this. It just seems like it's all happening at once. And I guess when I look at the pillars, I mean, each one is still on the table. You know, the worst one obviously is civil war. I mean, if this country ever really got polarized enough, you know, and what could bring that on? I mean, you know, we when they release the ruling on Roe versus Wade, you know, you've got people calling for a summer of rage. What the hell is a summer of rage? I mean, are we asking people to go out in the streets and all the cities and burn things down? You know, are we going to have civil discourse? What does summer of rage mean? And by the way, you know, when you look at if we have a summer of rage, you know, the assumption is it's going to be people that are pro-choice, that are angry. But sooner or later, you know, there are always two sides to every coin. So sooner or later, if people that were pro-life said enough, you know, we're going to make noise too, this could escalate, this could elevate. And how does this tie into our finances? You know, Anthony, you ask all the time, especially with social media, you always want to know how I tie that in. I tie it in because we're really in a crisis level, perfect storm scenario in this country. You know, I mean, if you look in the news, research the country of Sri Lanka, and that'll give you an idea how currently something could be going wrong. They're out of fuel. They're closing the doors to the bank. They're doing all the stuff that I keep saying could happen in this country, and nobody's talking about it. So, you know, the worst thing you can do is have your head in the sand. The
so
best thing
got to bail in.
I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. I haven't heard that term over there yet. It's brand new. It's just, you know, I mean, this has been going on for months over there, but the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden things are shutting down. And
Sam,
it's just
can you pull up some of that stuff. So I don't really know anything about that. I haven't heard it yet.
And it's a small island. You know, people are like, well, yeah, but that's there and that's here. I mean, come on. How do people not see that this country is in dangerous waters? You know, you can't sustain $30 trillion in debt. You know, our one of our topics today we want to dig into is the housing market. Well, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead.
Oh, you ready? I'm so excited for that one.
You're excited? Well, but I thought you wanted me to talk about normalcy bias for half an hour first. I thought all you want to talk about was normalcy bias.
I just want to hear you name off the 10 pillars.
I just did.
Just read that list over and over for the next hour and a half.
Oh, I can do that. Sam, if you want to leave the room, that's what I'm going to do. 10 pillars, just backwards and forwards. Start in the middle, go back to the beginning. Yeah, I can.
No, I'm excited for the show that we do on social media, though. I think that one's going to be pretty eye opening. I just got to do my homework.
Yep. Social media. It's an amazing thing. It's a blessing. It's a curse. It's a dumpster fire. I mean, you have people. I've got a story in Sun City where people that were high school sweethearts reconnected. This is in Sun City. So, fast forward like 50 years, they reconnected, each got rid of their spouse, hooked back up with their high school sweetheart. I mean, it's a fascinating social experiment. And, I've referenced the fact that in 2020, when there was a toilet paper shortage, as soon as I started seeing it on Facebook, I started saying to people, here it comes. I mean, Anthony, you were in the office. I was telling people, it made it to Facebook. You better get your butt out. I also remember I went to a couple Ace Hardware stores near the office and I bought a few masks. I bought a few of those, whatever they are.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. And it was funny because this was end of February, very beginning of March. And I was like, well, because people are dumb. Why? And no offense to people. I don't mean to call the entire country dumb. But it's funny because, Anthony, I said to you, I said, as soon as people get nervous, they're going to be a run on these things. And then I went to Amazon and bought a whole sleeve of them. And sure as you know what, got to Facebook. And then all of a sudden, masks were hard to find. So, and part of my thing, supply and demand. I mean, I'll give them to friends or I'll sell them to strangers. So I was doing business and, it was unknown. So yeah, I want to keep myself, my family, my friends safe. So anyway, let's do this. Why don't we start wrapping it up for this segment? I know we have got so much to talk about today. Again, thank you so much for joining us, especially on a weekend where there's so much going on. Take a minute, please, to honor our troops that passed away for us to stay safe and free. And we will be back in a minute. As always, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. You can email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. I love to hear ourselves talk, but we want your questions. I mean, if you don't send us questions, we're going to start making them up. And your questions are going to be really horrible if we have to make them up. So email us. Talk to us. This show, as always, is a macro view of the world. We'd be glad to sit down with you and get into your micro view of the world and better your situation. One family, one person, one couple at a time. Thanks so much for joining us.
If those other money advisors promise you a boatload of money, check the size of the boat and be sure it's your boat, not theirs. You're listening to Another Money Show.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer. Is your home an asset or a liability? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. In 1950, the average home cost about $7,400.
Wow.
That's about $88,000 in today's money. But those days are long gone. Now, the National Association of Realtors says the median home price is around $370,000.
Boo.
Buying a home or being able to afford your mortgage payments just keeps getting more expensive these days. For example, mortgage rates are at the highest level since 2009, and home prices are still rising by double digits. In March, prices rose nearly 20% over the same time last year. From an affordability standpoint, things have not been this dire since the middle of 2006. Mortgage data provider Black Knight says 35 markets in the U.S. are the least affordable they've ever been when it comes to buying a home. And with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to try to tamp down on inflation, it doesn't look like that'll change anytime soon. One thing people seem to be turning to? Adjustable rate mortgages, also known as ARMs. CNBC reporter Diana Olick says these types of loans used to be considered much riskier than they are now.
ARMs can be, set a fixed rate for 5, 7, even 10 years. But yes, we did see ARM demand literally double in the past 3 months. That's huge. People are looking for a lower rate. So a rate on an ARM is about 4.28%, whereas you're looking at well over 5% for the 30-year fix.
The pandemic gets much of the blame for the current situation, of course. Low supply and demand that's through the roof are leading some potential home buyers to seek out alternative and riskier sources of financing. According to the New York Times, those arrangements often do not have the consumer protections that are available with traditional home loans and are lightly regulated by a patchwork of federal and state rules. Adding to the confusion, they go by different names in different places. One example is a channel loan, which Pew Research says often comes with higher rates and shorter terms. With home costs continuing to increase, many retirees and pre-retirees are rethinking their monthly expenses. If you fall into those categories, should you consider doing something like maybe downsizing to cut costs? That's a key question to consider as home prices and mortgage rates keep soaring. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
Welcome back to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford, Anthony Creo, and the one and only Sam Davis. You know why I bring up Sam and Davis so often and say that he's the one and only? Because he is. I mean, he's the glue. I'm sucking up. I'm trying to get my five-day-a-week show going, so I'm sucking up to the one and only Sam Davis. But really, he is the adult in the room. You know, when I start getting myself worked up and Anthony starts getting himself worked up, we always have the calming voice of Sam behind us. So we love you, Sam. Anyway, why don't we do this? Let's jump right in. Let's jump. I wish, you know what? We need a TV show. Oh, a light bulb just went off. Sam puts up pictures in the background for us to see, but you guys can't see him. And he put up Sammy Davis Jr. And it's pretty funny. So anyway, I guess you have to just picture what I'm saying is actually funny, because it's not funny right now. And let's move on from that. So what we really want to get covered today is the housing market. You know, I mean, you know, when I talk about food shortages and gas rising and monkeypox and Sri Lanka, you know, do all that research on your own. You know, make sure you're getting yourself educated. We want you to be aware and awake and nimble and ready if things get weird. So the housing market is a huge consideration for people. You know, we're in the metropolitan Phoenix, Arizona area on 960 The Patriot. We are intelligent news talk, by the way. So the housing market, it's been, and I know around the country is the same. Some pockets are more than others, but we have had a seller's market on steroids here. You know, yes, we have people from Oregon, Washington, California moving in. So that is definitely, you know, people are selling a, you know, 1700 square foot home for $1.3 million in California, moving here, buying a $900,000 home, pocketing the change, you know, and the home here is 4,000 square feet. So it's been great for people coming in. It's really going to suck for our traffic. You know, if you drive around this valley, you're starting to notice that we are getting big city traffic problems here already. And this is, you know, this is a newer update. So the housing market, my take on this, a couple things. First of all, things cycle. Everything in life cycles. When I had a realtor a while back say, well, this time it's different, how I look at that, you know what? It's never, ever the same. This time it's different. You know, that is very true. But I don't think things can stay the way they are. You know, and I'm going to let Anthony jump in. I'm going to let him have tons of time on this one because he's very passionate about the housing market and what he thinks we should do about it. But I had to get a few things off my chest first. So, and I really think that right now it's in a mode of slowing down. I think that it's cooling off. There's a whole bunch of mortgage companies that are laying off people, shutting down departments. So that's kind of an eerie sign. You know, I'm told that's because the refi market has screeched to a halt. But I do believe that, you know, if we later in this year go into a recession, believe me, that's going to affect the housing market. People are going to kind of hunker down. If the everything bubble that I refer to all the time, you know, the 10 pillars, if a few things happen at once, I think people are going to be frightened. You know, people are resistant to change by their nature. They're going to be really resistant to change if we go into a recession. You know, we talked about recessions a few shows back. You know, we've had over 50 recessions in this country. We've only had one depression. There's not a lot of people talking about the fact that we could go into a depression. If that happens, how do you think the housing market's going to go? I mean, I think it's going to screech to a halt. So, Anthony, you want to start jumping in and
I wasn't all passionate about this. It started with a discussion we had with a client a few weeks ago. And the question is now a good time to be looking at a house? And my answer was, it's a little bit more complicated than you were making it sound. Thing is, they did everything right so far. All the other stuff we said to do. Get out of debt, have emergency funds, focus on income and retirement. What else? They've got great paying jobs, debt-free. They were doing something else, but essentially they've hit all the marks that we've told them to. The only thing is they're renting now versus owning. So it's, do you think we should get a house? So I sat with them and I said the pros and cons and kind of all the things I'm considering. And JR came in and was just like, no, don't even consider it. Don't get a house. But I think it's more complicated than that. I mean, Sam just had up the average home pricing chart historic. And you're forgetting 2008, housing was the catalyst. You've said we've had 50 other recessions, but what does housing do in all those recessions? It doesn't go down the way that it went in 2008. That was a one-off. So I don't know if you can say, oh, a recession's coming, so don't get into housing. But housing skyrocketed. Average home pricing now is like 507. It said 2 years ago it was like 374. That's 30% increase or 33% increase.
And do you think that's the new norm? Are we going to give any of that back if we go into recession or depression or housing values?
I'm just saying you have to take in all the other factors. Privatized institutional buyers for housing has increased from approximately 10% up towards 18 to 20%. That means all the new purchases or homes are now investors, you know, a fifth of them.
And what does that mean for the American dream? I mean, is that pinching out mom and pop, you know, the young couple that you're referring to in the office? Part of my issue, me, you know, and again, I was here for the tech bubble, plane hit a building 2008. I can tell you the housing market pain in 2008, 9, 10, you know, people with these homes that went down in value huge. There was a lot of upset people. There was panic. You know, I really want this to keep going. I want to, if we have to spend the rest of our time today on this subject, let's do it. But let's take a break because I want to keep going right there. Let's remember where we're leaving off right now and get back into it. Is that okay?
Cool. Yeah, and we had that segment from Matt that played before this that we need to talk about too because they said something interesting that's concerning me. But we'll get back to that after this.
Sounds good. We'll see you in just a minute.
Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. We were just having a discussion on housing.
Basically, and you know what? We heard the clip from Matt McClure. What are your thoughts on that, Anthony?
They said that the flexible arm interest rate mortgages, right? The variable mortgages have doubled recently. Doubled. What got everybody in trouble in 2008?
Adjustable rate mortgages.
Interest-only mortgages. Doubled. Also, they were talking about the difference. They gave a couple rates, and I think one was like 4.5. You know, you can lock in 4.5 for X amount of time versus 5.5 fixed. But 5.5 fixed is still historically insanely low.
Correct.
Insanely low historically. Granted, you're low interest rate on a massive, you know, overpriced house. But the other thing is we talk about interest rates all the time, you know, especially when we're talking about bonds, trying to fight inflation. Nothing looks like interest rates will go down. Interest rates are still practically zero. And we're trying to fight inflation. So how do you fight a recession by lowering rates, but we can't really lower rates anymore. But then you're just ignoring inflation, which is getting out of control. So rates have to go up. They have to go up.
You're saying to me, what I'm hearing from what you're saying is things have to do a certain thing. And what I've been saying to you for the 4 years you've been in the office is every single thing is off. Everything is uncharted territory. Yes, to beat inflation, we have to raise rates. The problem is inflation is at a 40-year point. If we're borrowing and printing money to pay the interest on the money we've printed and borrowed, we've got a heck of a problem. If you've heard the word soft landing, I think the powers to be with the Fed, they're in a very precarious position. I mean, yes, we need to keep raising interest rates, but we can't. So, you know, and look at what's going on with the housing market already when rates went from 3% to 5%. And by the way, my very first mortgage in the early 90s was 11.95%. So when I look at these people, you know, 30-year fixed at 2.75, 3%, you know, 15-year fixed, it's like, holy cow. I mean, to me, that's a car note, not a mortgage. You want things to be normal. And I think we're going to have some serious pain before we can get any track to normalcy.
And I'm not saying that's, I'm saying in theory it should. Like, those are the how things react. You know, you've got to lower rates to fight recession, but you have to raise rates to fight inflation. So we're dealing with stagflation. So how this all turns out, you know, who knows? I'm saying we're not in a good position, period. Everything is bad. But it's, if you've done everything else correctly, why not consider, if you can get into a house, getting into a house? And again, this is not for, you know, this is a kind of weird conversation because we're talking about one person in particular in that situation, but there's a lot of other applications to this. And I'm really struggling on what I feel about housing because of all the other factors. So what if the housing, or so say housing stays the same, right? It stays overpriced and we're looking at about 4.25 average for a household in Arizona. What if the dollar gets cut in half? Doesn't that essentially mean that that house in actual money went from 4.25 to 8.5? So now your $425,000 house is technically $850,000 because your dollar just got cut in half. You see what I'm saying there? I mean, we're fighting things from so many different angles that it's how do you really decide? Because average rent right now in Arizona, and this is apartments, I couldn't find the data on houses, but is $1,547 with an average size of 800 square feet. They're saying, if you look at all the apartments right now, that 8% is under $1,000, 40% is between $1,000 and $1,500, 40% is between $1,500 and $2,000, and 12% is over $2,000. That means 50% are over $1,500.
How do people afford this? I mean, you know, my pillar on the middle class, it's shrinking. It's getting tough. And this is there. What we're talking about today, there is a no-win situation. Do you want to buy a house that is presumably 30 to 40% over what it's really worth? Or do you want the lower interest rates? I still think we're going to raise rates. The Fed, by the way, hopefully everybody listening to us knows the Fed is not a federal agency. It's a private, it's a Federal Reserve. Talk to us about that on the side. Federal Reserve is not really federal. But anyway, do you want to buy a house for 200 grand more than you should? And, or do you want to deal with the interest rates? I think they're going to raise interest rates a little bit more this year. And then they're going to have to forget about the soft landing. And they're going to have to put their tail between their legs and bring the interest rates back down. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be coupled with a bunch of other scenarios that it's not going to be easy. And I think we have to get through the end of this year to see how this pans out. But as much as I'm about to stroke out and have a heart attack, we have to take a break. We'll come back in just a minute. Make sure you reach out to us at anothermoneyshow.com. And thank you for joining us. I'm picking up
good vibrations. You're listening to Another Money Show. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Another Money Show with your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford. And we've been discussing, essentially the question is, you know, if you've listened to any of these shows or heard us talk, you kind of know our stance on a lot of things going on in retirement. I mean, regardless of the volatility and how weird the market is, get out of debt. Focus on income and retirement. I mean, those two are key. And part of getting out of debt is having no mortgage, not having to pay rent. So the question, how this whole conversation started, if you've been following along since the beginning, is we've had someone recently who's doing everything right. The only thing that they're missing out on their full financial plan is that they're renting. They don't own a home. And right now, everybody knows that the housing market is crazy. Nobody knows what the future holds. Things are just weird and it's being attacked from a lot of different angles. So the conversation is, do we talk to this client about getting a home? Do we make that a part of what they should be doing so they can start the process of paying down the mortgage and getting completely out of debt by the time they're ready to retire?
And we definitely saw it from two different sides, you know, and one good thing, I'm very big picture, conceptual. You're an engineer. You're very detail oriented. You generally have the right answers on what people should do correctly. I have the answers on what they really feel comfortable doing. I feel like I'm more of a psychologist, You know, I mean, these people here, here was my take on it. Is it smart for them to get a house? Absolutely. You're right. That was the last piece of the puzzle, but they have a very friendly rental agreement. Guy lives in Canada. You know, they don't
yeah,
see
but that. Guy. That can change any day.
It can, but
any
everything
there's
can
no knowns. We talk about that all the time is have knowns. I mean, we just said don't have a variable, you know, we don't like variable annuities, variable life insurance, variable rates on loans because we don't like unknowns.
No,
so
you're right.
But, massive unknown. Like that's their life. Like they have lived somewhere.
But hear me out for a second.
Okay.
If everything that I'm worried about starts coming at once, like right now they're in good shape. They did their life insurance. They picked up an umbrella policy. They're preparing for their future. So everything is perfect. Couple thoughts I have. It is really, really a horrible time to buy a house in the Phoenix area because the supply and demand is so off. So if you find a dream house, there's 16 people bidding on it, probably most of them investors. So it's not a good time. So that's a little part of it. My bigger part is they have some money saved up, but not a huge amount. It's in the neighborhood of $50,000. If we have food shortages and the debt tips and we go to a digital currency and there's a bail-in and all this stuff, do you really think them being in a house is going to be important as having $50,000? They could go to Mexico with $50,000. They could change their situation.
And vacation
and does not come back. They can go to Rocky Point where all our friends go and hang out on the beach.
Bring that back, right? So you said, what if all of these bad things happen at once?
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
What happens if during all these terrible things happen, the landlord says, I'm not renewing your lease next month. I'm selling your house. Get out. Good luck. Now what predicament? You have to set a base. We say that a billion times. Set a base. Isn't owning a home setting that base? Because if you're worried about everything else, wouldn't it be nice to just say, here is my home. All I have to worry about is making sure this mortgage is paid for. That's
believe it or not, I'm going to agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but not before January 1st of 2023. I think there's too many pitfalls, too many things to air out. Should they have a house? Absolutely. It's the rest of their plan. They have kids. I just think it's a horrible time. My advice to people generally, when I'm not sure what to do, do nothing. Wait. You know, I mean, and I said to them, start looking.
What are you going to say to do nothing? All we've talked about is doing something with all kinds of different aspects.
I mean, on a big purchase like a house. And I said to them, there's always the needle in a haystack. If you find your dream home and it's something within your affordability, I would, you know, right now, this is not my normal advice over the years. I would put down as little as possible. I want them to keep their powder dry. I want them to have as much money as they can to keep pace with inflation and other things. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think they do need to have a house. It's the last piece of their puzzle. I just think the timing is really off. And I mean, give me 6 months and then let me review that. If they find a house in the meantime, I asked them if they had a good realtor. I said it may not even hurt them to have more than one realtor keeping their eye open for them. You know, I mean, don't hire a realtor, get three realtors looking for you.
Disagree. I also think now is a terrible time, but there's so many other variables and could it get worse? Is now a bad time? Yes. But is it a bad time comparative to everything else that could make things substantially worse or could things get better? I mean, we talk to realtors all the time and who think, you know, housing's just going to keep going up for forever. And what we're saying, because they're like, well, it's not 2008, more cash buyers, stronger market, 100%. I don't disagree that. What they are missing is the 10 pillars, all the other things that could collapse, right? Housing brought down everything around it.
Could it happen again?
Yeah. Well, I don't think housing will do it. I'm saying everything else, if everything else is collapsing, housing should collapse too. But you mentioned, you know, the recession, but you look at the historical dating, housing wasn't hit nearly as hard during recessions as a lot of other things. Could things get worse and could there be deals again in housing? You know, if everything else fails, absolutely. But then what if your dollar drops 50%? You know what I mean? That means that house is still way overpriced because now we're fighting on so many different fronts.
I understand what you're saying. And my bottom line at this current point is there's no right answer. You know, there may be a lot of wrong answers, but there's no right answer. if these people are willing to trade a really inflated price on the home, knowing it's their forever home, they're going to be there 15, 20, 30 years. I get it. I think it's smart. I think it's a piece of stability. I just think there's too many uncertainties, too many unknowns. I think the timing is off. And again, I'm open to the needle in the haystack. I think they should wait a little while. They're on the right track to do everything smart. I don't want them to go out 10 years and look back and go, the only thing we really messed up was when we bought the house. You know, we started preparing for our retirements at a young age, you know, but buying that house at $450,000 and now it's worth $300,000, you know, we messed up on that one. That's what I see coming. And I'm not sure if I'm right. You know,
but
I mean, a lot
of
what
I'm trying to take into account, the value of the dollar, the interest rates, all the other things, because you're just talking about price. Well, price is one thing to look at, but price relative to everything else. And that's my concern. I mean, you and I were in perfect agreement a couple of years ago because we even said things are crazy high, you know, sell, maybe rent for a couple of years and then buy back in when everything else implodes. But now it's just the value, the dollar value, the interest rates, I think is way more of a concern of mine now and how that's going to be relative to home prices. But the other part is, can you even own a home anymore if BlackRock, Vanguard, and all of these massive institutions just start buying them all up? I mean, they've doubled.
What's going on? My understanding is they own 1 out of 7 homes in this country. I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure how to verify that.
That doesn't seem true. I've been trying to find a more concrete number. All I've found is that historically they've bought, you know, of new purchases, not necessarily new home builds, but just purchasing in general, about 10% or so was from investors. But they're saying it's gotten up to 18%. Which is almost a fifth of all new home purchases. So now
we need to dig into that because I've heard higher numbers. I've heard between BlackRock, Blackstone, Vanguard. I've heard that that landscape is changing. You know, and how does that tie in? You know, that ties in with the pillars because that's the shrinking middle class. If you have $5 million, you're going to be fine. You can buy a house wherever you want, right on the beach. You know, if you have nothing, you're going to be fine. We're always going to feed people. We're compassionate. If you're in the middle, watch out because they're going to squeeze you.
Well, what's the biggest asset to pass down?
Well, hopefully it's life insurance. If you talk to us, it's going to be generational wealth transfer via life insurance, fixed annuities. I mean, your home value can fluctuate. It's illiquid. You know, we get these people in Sun City. It is not tax-free. And, will they eventually get rid of the deduction? And, you know, right now, if somebody passes away and gives it to their kid, up to $250,000 a person, $500,000 a couple is tax-free. Can that go away? Well, we're broke. So, yeah, it can. You know,
your dad was a millionaire, and didn't you say he always kept a mortgage on his house for the deduction?
I never told you my dad was a millionaire. He would get mad at me for saying that to you. My father, we butt heads about that for years. He was like, well, it's my only last tax deduction left. I'm like, you know what? When it's a tax credit, when it's dollar for dollar, like a donation to a Catholic school, I'm all ears. But I mean, when you're looking at still being out of pocket and you've got enough money to pay it off in your checking account, pay it off. I mean, I think debt-free is the way to go. I love you, Dave Ramsey. I love most of you. Some of you, I have questions.
Also, he lived in Terra Vita. You didn't have to tell me he was a millionaire. That I could just imply.
Terra Vita, isn't that Scottsdale? That's a nice area. I like that area.
Also, but now that your dad's passed away and he would hate for you to tell me how rich he was, now you can tell me how rich he was.
He was like Scrooge McDuck. He had billions. Elon Musk used to always be like, Stu, talk to me a little bit. What do I do here? Do I send people to the moon, Mars? Where are we going? So, you know, I know we have to start hurrying up here. What I think for the middle class we may eventually see is this might be a little bit out, 40 and 50 year mortgages. I mean, you know, if we're both right, you know, if you're right and the housing value stays up a little more than I give it credit for thinking it will do, if interest rates stay up or they keep rising, how are we going to afford homes? Meaning the middle class. Well, you know, go ahead and change my 30 year fixed to a 50 year fixed. And yes, you hit something really important. You know, be real careful with these adjustable rate mortgages. Be really careful with the annual cap, the lifetime cap. You know, when you saw interest only loans, they crushed people. So could that happen again? Sure. We don't seem to understand or learn from history. That's part
of
our problem.
Nobody learns. People do not learn from the past. Ooh, can we, I don't know if we can use clips from this show, but if you're listening to this, check out Boom Bust Boom. It's a documentary on bubbles, and it's made from Terry Jones from Monty Python. He made he did most of the animations and the puppets and stuff. So super entertaining. But the whole thing is just People do not learn from the past. And it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Super entertaining. It used to be on Prime. I don't know if it is anymore. Yeah.
But no, everybody should see Boom Bust Boom. The Big Short. There's some movies that people really, really should see. You know, Michael Burry. I mean, he's out there again recently with more predictions.
So Michael Burry, for those that don't know, was the guy that predicted the 2008 crash well before it happened. He was the one that realized that people were getting loans that they shouldn't. Super, super interesting movie. Plus, it's got Brad Pitt. It's got Christian Bale, Steve Carell. I mean, all-star cast. So looks like we're coming to the end again. See, we told you Sam was the adult. So he just let us know. So Memorial Day, you want to give a shout out for that again, Jer?
Yeah, well, and I started out that way. I'll end that way. Thank you so much to those of you that were willing to protect our country for our freedoms and even to the two dying. So when you enjoy your barbecues, do kind of keep in mind, teach your kids, teach your grandkids that, you know, all this instant gratification, you know, everybody's on TikTok. It's like, there are things that are really, truly important. Let's not lose sight of them. So thank you so much for tuning in, joining us. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure you reach out to us. We'd love to help your situation. You know, the end of the day, I mean, what we're really trying to do is improve your life. So we're here for you. Thank you so much. And we'll be back with you next Saturday.
Until then, you can check us out at anothermoneyshow.com. That'll link. We're still working on the website itself, but it'll link to our personal website, Rochford Financial, and you can listen to all of our old shows there and set appointments and chat with us.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.